Well, over the last several Sundays, we've been doing a series out of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'll ask you to open to 1 John. We are in chapter number 3. Began chapter number 1 last Sunday morning. We'll pick up right where we left off in chapter number 3, beginning there in verse number 4. So 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 4, when you have your place, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, the Bible says this: whosoever committeth sin transgresseth, I can read that, also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. In continuing our series, John is desiring for us to have fellowship, not just with him or with other believers, but also with the Father. Chapter 1, verse 3, this also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we took a look at that as we were going down through chapter 1, and chapter 2 gave us a series of evidences of that new birth and looking at an obedience or desire for obedience to His Word, our spiritual growth, and then leading that separated life all by the power of that indwelling Holy Spirit. Chapter 3 that we began looking at last week calls for us to live that Christ-like life. First of all, by recognizing the vastness of God's love. Oh, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, we're children. Amen. Preached on that last week. But also know that we're going to be eternally transformed. That when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is there, verse 2. And that should stir us to live pure lives. Amen. Anybody here have trouble with that? Besides me? You know, there's obstacles in the way. And John now is going to begin kind of a series of obstacles that we face in trying to live that pure life. And the first one he deals with is sin. But you know, he also shows us how to get the victory over it. Amen. And we're going to look at that this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And I ask that you help us to put self on the shelf, Father, to put the cares of life away for this next bit of time. And Father, just to focus on you, to focus on your word. Father, stir us, encourage us, draw us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. We got obstacles, don't we? And looking down through, I tell you what, we're going to... John does. I love where we're going with this. But what we're looking at this morning is the fact that there's sin. This is an obstacle that we face, isn't it? And all this does is it shows our need of deliverance. Verse number 4 says, whosoever committeth a sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That sounds to me pretty cut and dry. Sin is simply breaking God's word. But you know, there's people today that have a problem with sin, or have a problem with calling sin, sin. Oh, no, you can't use those words, preacher.
I haven't sinned. I just made a mistake. Made a bad decision. Was doing things my way. I can't help it. I was born that way. You know, I've heard people talk. I'm going to have a little fun here just for a minute on that one. And not necessarily fun, but I'm going to single on this one out. We hear today of those that are using the excuse for a sinful lifestyle that I was born that way. Well, you know, that statement is actually more true than they'd like to admit, because we were all born with a sin nature. But no, you weren't born, you know, the way you're claiming. No, it is sin. And many times we're afraid to call sin, sin. We look for all these other ways to try to justify it or try to rationalize. Well, everybody's doing it. Wait a minute. I think I've heard that before, haven't you? Didn't Eve use that excuse in the garden? I mean, think about this. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, you know, they're out in the garden one day, and here comes the serpent, more subtle, and, you know, did God really say? And the devil tricks her into going over to the tree and eating of the fruit thereof. And then the Bible says that she turned and gave it to her husband that was with her. Well, everybody's doing it. All one. Well, it's not sin. It is socially acceptable. And the problem is we've gotten so far out of way in clouding what sin is, we're afraid to say what sin is. We try to rationalize, we try to justify, we try to say, well, it really isn't all that bad. My sin didn't make the 10 o'clock news. It wasn't in the paper yesterday. Actually, aren't you glad of that? Amen? You know, but it still happened. There was still sin. What is sin? Pardon? Uh-oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Right? I love the little, the acrostics? Taking words, breaking apart, you know, grace, God's riches, Christ's expense. Trust, total reliance under stressful times. Faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Saint, Sunday afternoon is nap time. By the way, that's Sunday afternoon, not Sunday during church. Okay? Sin, self-indulgent nature. Sin is about me. Sin is about self. Sin, it says, is transgressing the law. To transgress, it literally talks about to be outside of, to go beyond the limits of. Sin is following our wants instead of God's word. Sin is missing the mark. I know, not you, Mark. There's a bullseye that we're supposed to follow. There's a bullseye that we need to aim toward. And any time we miss that bullseye, we are out. Sin is disobeying God. I was talking with my wife as I was putting this together, and I love talking and using the expression that sin is either doing what we're not to do or doing what we're told not to do. Very simple. Here's a phrase for you to remember. You might want to jot this down. Here's a little fun one. Sin is either doing not or not doing. It's very simple. Sin is either not doing what we've been told to do, not doing, or doing not doing what we were told to do, or doing what we were told not to do. Thou shalt not, and we did. Don't eat the cookies before dinner. Right in the cookie jar we go, don't we? Don't play in the street. Disobedience. It's sin. Sin is sin. Anything outside of God's law, of God's commandment, is disobeying God. And by the way, if you want to take it on a little bit further, it basically becomes to where we are ignoring or rejecting God. Isn't it James that tells us, for those that know that it's sin and doeth it not, for them it is sin? When we know what the standards of God are, we know what we should be doing, and we choose not to do it, we are literally rejecting and ignoring God. We are then in rebellion against God. Matter of fact, some of these sins that we see popular today in the news, and they're making all the headlines about this lifestyle or about that action or about this thing over here, about that thing over here, basically all come down to denying that there's a God. If there is no God, then we don't have to follow what God says. Isn't that basically what evolution is? There is no God? Only a fool in his heart says there is no God. That's what sin is. Sin is transgressing the law. And the problem is not only are we sinners, but we are sinful. And we looked at that back in chapter number one. You're saying, oh, well, see, I haven't sinned in 20 years. Until right then, right? Amen, pride, oops. Chapter 1, verse 8, doesn't it say that, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us? Chapter 1, verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word isn't in us. The problem is not only are we sinners, not only do we continue to miss the mark, but we have the very nature that we are short of his perfection anyway. Sin is imperfection, for all have come short of the glory of God. We come short of God not only in our actions, but in our nature. We come short of His nature. Stray thought. Stray word. Tell you what, I'm going to have a little fun with language for a minute, which, by the way, I look at problems with language as just like any other addiction. Whether that addiction, and I use the illustration of Twinkies to cover addictions, and you can put your addiction as a Twinkie, because we all have a Twinkie. Amen? Aren't you glad they still sell those things? I know. But we all have a Twinkie. Whether it's smoking, whether it's drinking, whether it's soap operas, whether it's internet, whatever it is, language is a Twinkie. It's an addiction. It's a learned behavior. And if you think you've got control over your mouth, hit your thumb with a hammer and see what comes out. A stray word. A stray thought. We are sinful by nature and short of God's perfection. We're sinners. We need a little help. Trusted Christ as Savior. And I know that when I place my trust in Him, the old has passed away and all things become new. I've got a new nature. I've got a new way of thinking. But sadly, on this earth, that old nature's still there and it battles me. It fights with me. We got to put that old nature to death daily. Didn't Paul say, I die daily? Got to put that old nature to death daily. Why? Because it keeps coming back up every morning. I got to go kill it again. Sometimes I kill it in the morning, got to go kill it at lunchtime, and then still fight it in the afternoon. Amen?
Paul writing over in Romans chapter 7, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I'm still struggling with some things. Why? Because I'm a sinner. I know I use this illustration in Sunday school, and I talk about, you know, there's AA, there's Alcoholics Anonymous. There's NA, there's Narcotics Anonymous, and I belong to SA, Sinners Anonymous. Hello, my name is Scott, and I'm a sinner. Amen? In me, in my flesh, and as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm going to battle that old nature. Why? Because I was born with it, and as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to fight it. Jesus came and died on an old rugged cross and paid my penalty for sin. As I learn and as I grow and as I draw closer to Him, I get saved from the power of sin. But oh, I'm looking forward to when I'm going to be in His presence, when I'm going to stand before Him on streets of gold and be saved from the presence of sin. But until then, I'm still going to fight with it. Doesn't it say over in Galatians, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would? What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, that I do. It's not me that does it. It is sin within me, Paul says. Even Peter over 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Sin is a transgression of the law, and we're sinners. We struggle. We fight against it. There's temptations that draw us, and we preached on this a few weeks ago, chapter number 2, around verse 15. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There are things that draw our attention. And Paul tells us who we yield is who we serve. How many times have we slipped into something that says, oh, you know what that would do for me? You know how good I would feel if I had that? And we slip in. We transgress the law. Romans chapter 7, now towards the end of the chapter, Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. And that wretched talks about being in that battle and being weary from the battle. I have fought and I have fought and I have fought. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? And I thank my Lord in Jesus Christ. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins. We know the provision for deliverance. Come on, help me out here. We know the provision for deliverance. I know that I can't beat sin on my own. Amen? Amen. But I know who can. Ye know who it is. You know that He was manifested to take away our sins. Jesus came to take away our sins. Amen? He came to die on an old rugged cross. Amen? Going back to the Garden of Eden, as soon as Eve took a bite of the fruit, gave it to her husband, he took a bite of it. They're now separated from God, death, spiritually. The seed of the woman to restore the relationship. And then He takes an innocent animal and clothes them with the skins. The blood of the innocent for the price of the guilty. A picture of the salvation that was paid for us on an old rugged cross. The blood of the innocent for the price of the guilty. He was manifested, revealed to take away our sin. Amen? Amen? And I think about that takeaway. Doesn't David tell us over in the Psalm, as far as the east is from the west? He's taken away that sin. That word take away literally means not to just simply remove. And it's wonderful to think about all the fact that, you know, God has removed my sin. He has removed the penalty of that sin. And if that's all there was to it, man, that'd be great all in itself, right? He's removed that sin debt from me. But the Greek word there actually refers to more than just the removal. It refers to taking it upon himself. To bear our sins. To pick it up and to carry the load. Jesus not only just removed my sin, He took it. Took it from me and upon Him, upon His righteousness, has paid my price. He took it upon Himself. How? By living that sinless life. Look at the end of that verse. It says, and in Him is no sin. We were talking Thursday night in our discipleship class. We looked at Christ. We looked at Jesus. And by the way, if you want to be part of that class, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, we do a discipleship class right here. Right here in our fellowship hall. Open to anybody that'd like to be here. We were talking about Jesus this last week. We were talking about the fact that He was 100% man. Mary delivered Him as any other child is delivered. He grew as any child grows. Aren't you glad children grow? Amen. They keep getting bigger. Amen. Live that sinless life. Became... The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The God of eternity, our Creator God, the Savior, became as one of us. But yet was without sin, perfect obedience to the Word of God, to be that perfect sacrifice for us. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. To become that perfect sacrifice, to die in our place, to pay our price. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Because of the blood of the cross, because of the sacrifice that was made for us, we are free from sin. By the way, we are not free to sin. We're free from it. And He was manifested to take that away from us. And as I look down through verse 6 and 7, talks about the proof of our deliverance. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither know Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. When we accept Christ as Savior, we begin to abide in Him. And that word abide we've talked about means to continue, to dwell, to remain. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. Amen? When we accept Him as Savior, we remain with Him. Amen? And as I look at this, it's easy to say, oh, well, see, well, you can tell who the Christians are and who the Christians aren't. Sins, you don't know Christ. Okay, whoops. I saw you sin the other day, Brother David. I guess you don't know Him. It's not what the word says. It's not what that verse is talking about. The word sinneth there is a verb. It's an action. That's what that E-T-H is. It's also in the present tense. It's referring to continuing in sin. Those that continue to live in sin after they claim to have followed Christ are not in Christ. There's something missing if they don't see a problem with sin. We know what sin is, right? We just talked about that.
Sin is doing what I want to do, not what he tells me to do. Sin is in disobedience to him. Sin is in rebellion to him. And when I become a new creature in Christ and I begin to abide in him, that sin nature suddenly becomes different or opposed to what's in him, in me. He that continues in sin, or he that abides in Christ, does not continue in sin. Question. Think back to before you got saved. I know for some of us that might have just been a short period of time, and some of us are going, all right, give me a minute here. Been saved a little longer. But think back to before you got saved. And all the things that you did, didn't see a problem with, you're justifying, you're rationalizing, oh, it's just this way, this, that way, no problem with it. And then suddenly, like Paul on the road to Damascus, somebody shared a gospel message with me, whether in a pulpit or out on the street or wherever it was, somebody shared a gospel message with me, and I knelt down and I met my Savior. And from that point, the things that I used to do bother me. It bugs me if I'm still doing the garbage because of what's now in me. If there's no change, I knelt, I said some words, and you know, the whole crowds and everybody were coming, and revival service, and this person got up, and that person got up, and the person next to me got up and said, come on. And I just kind of went up there with them, said, okay. And the preacher said a couple of words over me, and I'm going, okay. He said it, I'm done, and there's been no change in your life. There's something still missing in your life. Another little phrase to keep in mind is, if there is no fruit, there is no root. Fruit is an outward evidence of what's going on the inside. If there's no change in your life, you're missing the change in your life. I know who I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We just sang that song. When I become a child of God, my want to changes. I no longer want to do what I used to do. There's been a change. There's been something that's new. And if you don't see that change, we need to get a checkup. Now, I want to clarify here for just a minute, because this is part of what we were talking about in Sunday school. And this, I tell you what, I love preaching the Word of God. Amen. I love studying the Word of God. Amen. And reading through this passage, and I'm studying, I'm praying on it all week. And we had a service here yesterday. And you know how hard it was to preach a message on this topic and not be thinking about this message? We got into Sunday school this morning, and my mind is going over here on, I'm preaching my sermon. By the way, I know my wife has watched me do this a couple of times. If I go to put both Sunday morning and Sunday night together at the same time, Sunday morning I preach both messages. Amen. This verse is not talking about sinless perfection. With sin. We still struggle with disobedience. That's part of what we were just talking about. What this verse is talking about, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth has not seen him, is talking about a life characterized by sin. It's talking about a life that just continues to do as it used to do, with absolutely nothing, with no bother, with nothing that changes, with nothing that affects us, with nothing that stirs us. Because if there's nothing that stirs you, you're missing that Holy Spirit inside, that indwelling Holy Spirit inside that sometimes needs to come up and slap us to wake us up. Aren't you glad He does?
I know, bloodshed behind the woodshed.
What? Aren't you glad God corrects us? Okay? And sometimes we all need a little correcting. Amen. By the way, I know that's something else we talk about in Sunday school. Today, parents don't like to correct. Oh, I can't do that. Anybody know how gold is purified? I'm going to sidetrack here for a minute. They apply a little heat to the bottom and the impurities float to the top so they can be skimmed off. Do you know when that gold is ready? When the refiner can look into the gold and see his reflection. Let's apply that to our lives. Let's apply that to that sin nature that we have, that sin nature that we're born with. The moment that we accept Christ as Savior, we suddenly are not walking in utopia and everything is fine. There's still some impurities in our life. And God sometimes applies a little heat to the bottom to get those impurities to float up to the top, to make them visible so that they bother us. We can see Him. We can give them to Him and He can skim the impurities off the top until He sees His reflection in our life. By the way, parents, you want to get the impurities out of your children? You got to apply a little heat to the bottom. I'll give you that one for free. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for it. Verse number 8 says that he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this was the purpose, or for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, was revealed to us, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Amen. Think back to the garden as God had promised Himself out of the seed of the woman, the virgin born, would come to destroy the works of the devil. The devil from the very beginning has been in sin. By the way, the devil is a created being. He's not all powerful. He's not all knowing. He's not all present. Although he does have a handful of minions. I know those little yellow guys, right? Ezekiel 28:15. Thou wast perfect in the ways that from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And in rebellion, trying to proclaim himself as God. I will be like God. I want to do it my way. And what did he do? He tried to teach Eve the same thing. The result of getting Eve to fall into that was they were then separated from God. God had to come looking. Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. But what was missing was that fellowship because of sin. The promise that was made in Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled on the cross. As he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy talks about to loose, to melt, to put off, to put an end to dissolve. The works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Disobedience to God. Sin. And if I read that verse and if I understand that and I know that sin is in disobedience to His word, it's a transgression of the law, then what that tells me is any sin that is in my life, regardless what it is, regardless how big or how little or what I think it is or in my eyes trying to justify it, is still a satanic attack against the principles of God. It's still in rebellion. Christ came to put an end to those activities, to put an end of His control. Satan his power to charge us with sin has ended because of the death of the cross. Because that penalty has been paid. Because of that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we are justified.
Amen.
And that justified, we talked about that Thursday night, that declared legally righteous. Declared. Doesn't mean that I'm not guilty. It just means that I've been declared right.
Amen.
I'm still a sinner. But I've been declared right. Just if I'd never sinned by the work of the cross. That's why he was manifest. To destroy those works of the devil. The devil had that power to separate us from God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Christ is the one that restores us, that has destroyed, that has put an end to the separation or what separates us from him. Satan's power to enslave us with sin, to enslave us with the habits of sin, has been broken because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, part of the problem with sin, whatever that sin might be, is whenever we take part of that sin, we leave just a little thread connecting us to that sin. And we go our way, and we come back, we pick it up again, we even leave another little thread. We leave another little thread. We leave another little thread. And after a while, that thread becomes a chain, and it'll hold us. And it'll trap us in that sin and in that habit of sin. And you know who has the power to break that chain? My Savior. And because he has been manifested to destroy the works of the devil, to put an end to the works of the devil, he's the one that gives me the power over sin in my life. When I try to do it in my strength or in my righteousness or in what I'm doing, I simply fall back into the sin of pride and trying to do it my way instead of God's way. He's the one manifested, the one revealed to take away our sin, to destroy the work of the devil. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And this committing sin, again, is in that present tense. This is talking about being freed from living that continual pattern of sin. Whosoever is born of God does not continue to commit sin. Paul says this over in Romans 6. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, I got saved from sin, so I can now go do anything I want. Why would I want to do anything that's opposed to him? Whosoever is born of God doesn't continue. We don't commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. What is that seed talking about? That seed is the new birth. That seed is the new creation. That seed is the new nature. That seed is the incorruptible word of God that is now dwelling within us. It is literally that Holy Spirit within us that convicts us and corrects us and restores us. It is that Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to conquer sin. I'm going to pick on myself again with another one of those little Twinkies. I was a smoker for many, many years. Matter of fact, a doctor this last week was asking me how many years I smoked. And you know, I had to sit there and try to count it up and try to remember. I know I started smoking at about the age of, I don't know, 8 or 9. And at some point, it was up to 4 packs a day, Pall Mall non-filtered. And at one point, driving a truck, I had 4 cigarettes going in 4 different ashtrays, all in reach of me from the driver's seat. And I went, I got to do something different. So I went from the cigarettes, hey, I'm no longer smoking cigarettes. I'm now smoking a cigar. I'm now puffing on a pipe. Why? Because you set it down, it goes out. Save a whole lot of money that way. I got to pick it back up and fiddle with it, light it back up again, and smoked again. There's no filter on a cigar. There's no filter on a pipe. Lord, it's bugging me that I'm still smoking. So I'm going to try the patch. You know, the patch kept sticking to my lips. I'm going to try the gum. I couldn't get the gum to stay lit. In my strength, in my efforts, in what I'm trying to do, trying to quit and couldn't. How many times have you run that same roller coaster? I'm getting victory over this, I'm right back in it. I've gotten victory over this, I'm right back in it. I got victory over this, I'm right back in it. And every time you go back in, you usually fall in deeper than where you were when you started. You know what made the change? I got saved at the age of 15. I had that power within me. That Holy Spirit within me. That seed within me. And it wasn't until I gave Him the problem that I got the victory. Lord, I can't do it. But You can. I've now been smoke-free for almost 10 years. And by the way, the last scans I had done of my lungs are clear. Amen. That's not for me. That is that seed within me. You want to get victory? God provides the victory. That's what John is talking about here. And when we understand the love of God, the vastness, just the manner of His love, the vastness of His love for us, to call us the sons of God, verse number one, to change our life, to give us that hope of looking to be in His presence, to be eternally transformed, to be like He is, stirs us to live that pure life, to get the garbage out of our life. But we all still struggle with a little sin. And if I were to look through the passage and try to find a key phrase in here, it would have to be those first couple of words there, verse 5, ye know. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you know where the victory over sin is. Why do we continue to live in it? Why do we continue to struggle with it? Well, God, You gave me the victory over this one, but I don't know. I'll try this one on my own. Aren't you glad that the more light that shines in us, getting back to that purifying, the more those impurities float to the top that can become revealed to us so that we can give them to God, that He can take those from us so that more light shines in us that reveals more problems that then are risen to where we can give them to Him and continue to grow. That's where our victory over this obstacle is. Verse number 10 talks, we've been talking about, you know, the works of sin is the devil. It's disobedience. Verse number 10, in this the children of God are manifested in the children of the devil. You know, the kids look like the parents. A child has that same nature of the parent. How do you tell if you have the nature of sin and self or the nature of the Savior? Whose life are you reflecting? Whose are you following? Are you walking in the victory? Are you overcoming the obstacle? And by the way, throughout this entire lifetime on this earth, we will always be working to overcome the obstacles in this life. Continuing to grow. Continuing to be purified. Continuing to get rid of the junk in our lives. And not continuing to live in the muck and the mire. Aren't you glad? So let me ask you a question this morning as trying to wrap this up and wrapping things up. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, there's never been a point in my life that anything has changed. I'm the same today as I was a year ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago, 180 years ago. Has there ever been a change in your life? Has there ever come a point in your life that you have stopped trusting in yourself and started trusting in the Savior? Not about my works, not about my efforts, but about His finished work on that old rugged cross. About being laid in a borrowed tomb and then raising victorious over the grave. If you've never trusted Him, would you do it today? Maybe you're here today and you say, well, Brother Scott, I trusted Him years ago and I know about Him. But you know, if I look back over the last year in my life or the last month of my life or the last portion of my life, I've kind of plateaued. I've got some things in my life I need to get rid of. I've got some things in my life that I need to remember and to know that He was manifested to take those away. I need to know that He was manifested to give me the victory over those, to destroy the works of the devil. I need to bring that back into my remembrance and walk in victory. If that's you today, would you come and give it to Him on an altar? Would you come and trust Him with it? Let's stand quietly for prayer. And if that Holy Spirit is dealing with you, will you come? It's not, preacher, I want you to see what I'm doing. God already knows, but will you give it to Him? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this time of invitation. Father, thank You that You loved us so much, that You sent Your Son to die on an old rugged cross for us, to was manifested to take away our sins, to take away that penalty of sin, that we should not continue in sin. That Christ was manifested to give us the victory over the devil. Father, will You touch this invitation? Will You touch hearts here today? Father, if there is one here that does not know You, Father, will You draw them? Father, if there is one that is walking in disobedience or walking in rebellion, Father, will You draw them? Father, if there is one that You may have laid something else on their heart, Father, will You draw them? In Jesus' name. Amen.